Cattles and Robbie.
Cattles and Robbie.
Sactown Sports.
Hour number two of the show. I'm Cattles, he's Rami, Sactown Sports. You know, yesterday, Rami, you and I discussed this idea that Western Conference teams are angling for the Kings to be their playoff opponent.
Does seem that way.
I don't know if Brian Windhorst or somebody at ESPN was listening to the show, but all of a sudden this morning, this was a topic for ESPN. They were talking about it.
They were like, fan those flames.
It's like, wait a minute. Did you hear Cattles and Rami yesterday? We got to talk about that this morning. Yes, you do, ESPN. Yes, you do. Ahead of the curve. So first, let's dive into Brian Windhorst, who, of course, going back several weeks ago, said the Lakers were interested in playing the Kings. They wanted to try to slide into that sixth spot.
It was literally, if I remember correctly, the day after LeBron got hurt. And Brian Windhorst was out here like, they're hoping to stay in the play-in picture. And if they do, they hope to get the Kings in the first round.
So that was Windy then. This was Windy today.
And so when Draymond Green, I think he said earlier this week, I'd love to play the Kings because it's a short trip. Yes, he'd love to play the Kings because they can drive to the games. But he'd love to play the Kings because he sees them as a mark. And the Lakers see them as a mark, and the Timberwolves see them as a mark. The other night, the Timberwolves went into Sacramento.
Won a game.
It's going to be the biggest moment in Sacramento in a decade. Plus, they were going to win that game. The Wolves didn't have Karl Towns because he was coming off the calf injury. He sat out the second night of back-to-back. They won in that building. It was basically like a playoff-like game for the Kings. You think the Wolves don't want to go play them? Again, the Wolves are playing in Phoenix tonight. They're trying to get the sixth seed.
So everybody wants to play the Kings. Here was more from Windhorst.
With respect to the Kings fans and Kings Nation who are about to have a big game night tonight, the Kings are the mark. The Kings are stuck in the three seed. That's where they're going to finish. The Kings are the mark. All of these teams smell weakness on the Kings, not only because they haven't been in the playoffs in 17 years, but because they're not a good defensive team. And if you're the Warriors, who's planning on a long playoff run, they love the idea of being able to drive in the first round series. That's an advantage. The Warriors want the six, which is why coming back from 20 down last night was one of the biggest wins of the season to get and stay in that sixth seed.
The Kings are a mark.
Anytime somebody starts off with all due respect.
Yeah, you know something bad's coming.
Something disrespectful is about to happen.
Be ready. Be ready for the disrespect. So that was Windhorst. Now, J.J. Redick was on the set with Windy. And look, J.J. Redick has been, I think, very respectful of the Kings.
Yeah, he's mostly, come around.
Mostly.
Issued an apology.
For most of the season, he's given them credit where credit is due. So what did J.J. Redick think about all this? Here he was.
Windy, you bring up the offensive-defensive discrepancy with the Kings. I think outside of the LeBron James 2018 Cavs, when they were a top offense but a bottom five defense, there's really not examples in the modern era of an elite offense and a terrible defense making a deep playoff run and certainly not making the finals. Outside of that Cavs team, it's the only one. So I think that's important. Just how bad is the Kings defense? It's a great question.
All right, so I immediately see the reaction in the YouTube channel, right? Bring it on! Bulletin board material, baby! Bring it! Exclamation points. Immediately.
People were upset.
Immediately, many Kings fans, and even some Kings media I saw tweeting about this, they were immediately, as they say, triggered, Rami.
Yes.
Your thoughts on what Windy and Redick had to say?
Valid points on some level. I think to call him a mark, that's taking it a little further than maybe I would. We talked about it yesterday when we played the Draymond Green comments of him saying he wouldn't mind getting the Kings just because it's short travel. He doesn't really care who they play because they're the Warriors and they'll beat whoever's in front of them, but he just likes the short travel, the quick drive up to Sacramento. I get that. And we talked yesterday about having to earn that respect, having to earn that fear of teams around the NBA, and you don't do that in a regular season. To call them a mark, I think, is going a little bit too far. And if you want to talk about their defense, man, show me who's playing defense. Nick, a couple of weeks ago, you weren't here. Whitey was in, filling in for you. And I came across a stat that blew my mind. This has probably moved a little bit since then. It's been a couple of weeks. But scoring is so off the charts in the NBA this year that at that time, this was a couple weeks ago, again, the Bulls, who were the 24th ranked offense in the league,
right,
would be the 89th ranked offense in the history of the NBA. In the history of the league. What a bottom tier offense in 2023 is a top 100 offense in the history of the NBA. That tells me that scoring is off the charts in the league this year, and not a lot of people are playing defense. I'm not saying things won't tighten up a little bit when the playoffs come around and defense won't be a little more prevalent. The game won't be a little more physical, a little slower. But, man, to think that this is going to completely flip on its head come playoff time and the Kings won't be able to play their style and outgun you and outscore you, I think is a little bit foolish if that's what teams are thinking coming into a series against the Sacramento Kings. Get yourself ready because they will run up and down that court on you. I don't care if it's April, May, or June. I don't think anybody is necessarily going to slow them down on a consistent basis.
All right, so we'll dive into the playoffs and the offense a little bit more with you, Rami, coming up in a few minutes. As far as, you know, what was said by Windhorst and Redick, first of all, Windy and Redick are not saying the Kings are going to be a cakewalk. This is not Windhorst's opinion. This is not Redick's opinion. If you listen, Windhorst is telling you how players feel in the league. Now, this is the tough part, and I don't want to go too far down this road because there's many other things I want to say about this, but as far as that, here's the problem. ESPN have their insiders and their writers and their legit journalists. They turn them into opinionists at times. So when people go out there and they talk like Windhorst talked, people are going crazy about Brian Windhorst.
And he's the one who catches the heat.
Yeah, and all he's telling you is these teams, from the information that he has, these teams are eyeing the Kings in the first round. It's a don't shoot the messenger type thing to me when people are getting, you know, all triggered about Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst is not giving you his prediction. He's just telling you what he's heard and what he sees around the league. And Redick leaves it as an open question. He says, look, historically, that has been the case. It'll be interesting to see if the Kings defense continues to play at this level. He's not telling you a yes or a no. He's telling you it's open-ended because we haven't watched this postseason play out just yet. So I think some people were just overreacting to just the words. Secondly, this is all relatively speaking. Like, I see some people tweeting out, members of the Kings media, like, you know, oh, the disrespect. And, oh, man, the, you know, I can't believe they're making it sound like the Kings are just going to be short work and light work. No, this is all relative. These other teams, the Warriors, the Clippers, the Nuggets, Memphis, these other teams have been in the playoffs recently. They have won a championship, if you're talking about Golden State recently. They have made Western Conference Finals, even like the Nuggets did that a couple of years ago. So what we're talking about here is not whether or not the Kings are a good team. It's out of the playoff teams that exist right now, which one would you rather face? I understand Kings fans getting upset at because ESPN crapped on them for a long time. I truly get it. I do. But relatively speaking, if you're looking at the top six seeds, the team that many players in the league are going to think is the most vulnerable is the team that they think is a better matchup for them, that they think is inexperienced. They look at Denver, they see the Joker. They look at Memphis, they say that team's really, really difficult with that, you know, with the run they made last year and the way they win without Ja Morant and the fact that they've won now going 8 in a row if they win tonight. They look at the Suns and they see Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and CP3. And CP3 hasn't won the ultimate, right? But he's been there. And they see these guys. They see the Clippers and they think Kawhi Leonard, a guy who's won multiple championships and has been an absolute assassin. That year when he was in Toronto, he was the number one guy. Everybody was focused on stopping him and he carried them to a title. So it's all relatively speaking. They're not comparing the Kings to the Trailblazers. And so players in the league, when they look at these teams, you have to earn the fear. You have to earn that. And until you earn it, and you don't earn it, I'm sorry, Kings fans, but you don't earn that fear with a good regular season.
No, that's never going to happen.
That's not how it works. And if you're getting worked up about Windhorst and Reddick telling you how players feel,
the Kings are the mark.
You don't go from missing the playoffs for 16 straight years. You don't go from missing the playoffs in 16 straight years to immediate contenders and fear factor. Unless you go out and build a super team and you have one or two of the top five players in the world, a la the Lakers with LeBron and AD. Like, you're not going to make that jump. You have to earn it every step of the way.
The mark, that to me is a... That's strong language. I don't know if somebody said that to
All
Brian
right.
Windhorst.
So you do a radio show live every day. Have
yes.
you ever said a word you regretted?
Never.
Right.
No.
I mean, of course.
I'm perfect.
Like, he said Mark. Maybe he said Mark because it was the word that jumped into his brain.
Yeah.
He said Mark because...
What would you want it, Rami?
I don't know. That just seems strong
they're
to
the
me.
Target,
to
the target.
They're in the crosshairs. They're the desirable matchup.
Teams think they might be vulnerable.
Like, I don't like playing semantics games over live television or radio because I've been in that spot. I've said something that I go back and go, maybe that was a little too strong. Like, you're not going to be perfect.
I've never done that.
He's not reading a script. He's not an anchor. This is not dialogue that's written for him. He's going off the top, off of the intel he has. So, again, it's the message I've been sending for this entire season. It's been a great season. Embrace every step of the way. Enjoy the clinch tonight. It's been awesome. This team is really good at basketball.
Honestly.
But you're not going to earn the fear factor and ultimate respect across the country until you prove it in the postseason,
whether you like it or not. I like it. If Brian Windhorst if this is what he's hearing from other teams and you're going to take the Kings lightly into a series – good. Take them lightly.
But that's what I'm saying about relative. I don't think they're saying they're taking them lightly. If you look at playoff teams,
if you're saying that's the
Kings
team
fans,
I want.
Kings fans are not going to, and I understand. I get it. It's very difficult to remove emotion when you are a hardcore fan and you've sat through 16 years. I get it. I truly get it. NBA players don't care about you. They don't care about, you know, your emotions as far as, oh, this team, this is disrespect. NBA players care about one thing. What's the easiest path? Where's the team that I think has shown some more vulnerability than others? Where's the team that I think we can beat? They're going
to
pick the team that's 25th in defense.
I hate to say bulletin. I hate to say bulletin board material, but if I'm a Kings player and I hear I'm who you want, the extra motivation for me is to show, no, you don't.
Oh, don't get it twisted. The players, if they're going to use this, great.
Right.
I'm just saying, I'm looking at it from the players who are talking about the Kings and saying they're vulnerable. I'm giving you reasons that's not crazy to say. Like, you haven't been there in 16
Call
years.
Call me a mark.
You only have three guys on the team that have played an NBA playoff game. Oh, by the way, you've been awful, relatively speaking. Again, that's the mark word. You haven't been as
good. Call him a mark, Nick. I got your back.
You haven't been as good
Marks.
At home.
Mark.
You haven't been as good at home as some of these other top teams. Denver's been almost unbeatable at home. Memphis is almost unbeatable at home. Golden State is almost unbeatable at home. So when you're looking at the top six seeds, you go, which team is inexperienced? Check. Which team has been awful defensively? Check. Which team has, you know, guys that haven't really been there and don't really understand what's going on? Check. You don't think the Warriors were happy to see the Celtics instead of the Bucks last year in the finals? Of course they were. Because they said the Celtics had never been here before.
Right.
So
sure.
That's how it works. That's the difference between fans.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Oh, I know.
I
know you're not.
With you.
I'm just saying to the people that, like.
What movie was it where somebody used Mark? I don't think I can use the whole lot.
Hate that word.
Well, I think it was in.
What is it with you?
I don't know. That seemed like strong language.
I guess so.
I want to say it was. Was it Boys in the Hood? I don't know.
I think it's a lot more stronger words.
Yeah, it might have been Boys in the Hood. I think Doughboy did say a mark.
I can't say the whole line.
Let me go find it.
It's like a three or four word phrase that includes mark, and two or three of them I can't use.
Well, mark is a wrestling term. Mark is derogatory to say, oh, you're a mark.
Yeah.
You're just a fan.
Right.
So, your thoughts on Windy and Reddick? Did they disrespect the Kings? And is it unreasonable for players in the NBA and the Western Conference to look at the Kings as a path that they would want? 916-339-1140 is the text line. Phone number is 1-800-920-1140. We'll continue the conversation in 90 seconds.
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sactown Sports.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles
and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
Mic check. Some Kings fans getting worked up about Brian Windhorst and J.J. Redick. Greg Hyatt said that he's not upset, though. The bring it on was not out of being upset. He said, not upset, simply saying bring it on. If that's their attitude toward the Kings, we shall see. Honestly, I think it's better to be doubted and sort of an underdog than everybody thinking we're awesome. Yes.
Zombie and Soldier says Draymond's jaw is a mark.
We'll get to Draymond a little later.
No need to get violent.
More Draymond Green antics last night. So some more reaction. Cole G says, I find it funny that everybody wants the sixth seed, not because it guarantees you a playoff spot and avoiding the play-in, but only because the Kings are the third seed. That is entertaining. The fact is, these teams want the sixth seed because of that more than because of the Kings. They don't want the play-in. They want to be in.
Nobody wants to be in the play-in.
No, they want to be in.
You don't want your season ended on one bad night or
Cole,
two bad nights.
Cole is 100% right. Kyle Lewis gets to the heart of kind of what I'm talking about here. And it's a great way to put it. So thanks to Kyle. YouTube.com, Sactown Sports 1140. Kyle. Give us a like. We're trying to get to 50. We're at 45. 50 likes is the first goal for us.
Come on.
We're at 45 trying to get to 50. YouTube.com, Sactown Sports 1140. But Kyle's point that I really like is, if our situation, of course he's talking about Kings fans and the Kings, if our situation was switched with some of these other teams in the playoffs, we would want to play us too. And I think he's right, because, again, when you've been there, you've done it, you're tested, you've played through series, you know what it truly takes to win a playoff series and all that. When you're looking at other teams, you're saying, all right, which team is going to be the really tough out? Not to say the Kings are going to be an easy out, but if you're looking at it, you go, okay, their defense hasn't been good. They don't play great at home, relatively speaking. They are not the most physical team. Domas is extremely physical, but pretty much everybody else, not the most physical team. They're not going to beat you up, so to speak.
Right.
And so, like, you start looking at the inexperience and you look at all of these things, like, and you say to yourself, that's a team that's going to be thrown into their first playoff series that they've ever played together. And they have some weaknesses that we could target. That's what the playoffs are, folks. It's just like, whatever the matchup is, whenever we get there, Rami and I will sit here. We'll break down the weaknesses of whoever's going to be playing against the Kings. That's what you do. And players look at the weaknesses and they say, yeah, you know, I'd rather play the Kings than that team because I think that team has less check marks than the Kings do. That's how this all works. It's nothing personal. It's just how it works. It's sports. It's how it works. When you're getting ready to fight somebody.
When you say it's sports, that's also the reason people take it personally. You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
because like, sports is like becoming right, like politics.
Exactly.
Almost. But like if you're in the UFC, right? It's a perfect analogy. I think you used something like this yesterday. But I'll give you an example. Like if you're Leon Edwards and you're the champion of the world right now in the welterweight division, you're a stand-up guy for the most part. So if you're going to fight somebody who's known as, and this backfired in the last matchup because he actually did great against Usman, who is a good wrestler. But if you're a striker, you say to yourself, all right, I can outstrike that guy. But if you're going to go against somebody who is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt with a mixture of great wrestling.
Like myself.
Like Rami.
Right.
Then you say, oh, well, that's not the best matchup for me. That's what these teams are doing. What do we do well? What did the Kings do not so well? And how do we match up against them versus these other teams? That's all it is. And I know because it's been like 16 years.
You're not taking this personally enough, Nick.
It's because ESPN, part of it is Kings fans, and this could be a triggered word, but I mean this in the right way. Kings fans have been conditioned to kind of stand guard and be like, don't you disrespect us, because Bill Simmons and everybody crapped on him for 16 years. So there is this, you know, distrust between And rightfully so, there's a distrust between Kings fans and the national media because they just haven't gotten the respect. And I think it goes beyond not getting into the playoffs because I do think there's a lot of Kings fans out there that are like, look, you got to earn good talk. It's all the Sacramento stuff. It's all the they should move the team crap. That's really what angers people.
Yeah.
And that's what should anger people because this team's lack of success in the past 16 years before this season has nothing to do with this city, has nothing to do with this fan base. This fan base is as good as any fan base in sports. This city is behind this team. The arena is one of the best arenas in all of the country.
Gorgeous.
So it's and so when national people get lazy and go, move it out of Sacramento and go to Seattle because Seattle's a better city, that's what really angers them, and it should really anger them. But when a writer goes out there and tells you other Western Conference teams look at the Kings as a matchup that might be vulnerable and good for them, that's sports. It's how it works. That's what they want. They're not going to go. Brian Windhorst is going to go, you know what? The Warriors want to be the sixth seed because they feel like the Kings are the toughest matchup for them. They want to get it out of the way first. No. They don't want the toughest matchup right off the bat in their eyes.
Draymond doesn't care who they're playing.
Oh, of course.
He just wants a short trip.
He's a Warriors warrior, that guy.
Exactly. Just wants a quick flight. That's all Draymond cares about.
He's worried about travel.
How quickly can I get there?
I mean,
there?
He is getting older. Maybe the back tightens up on flights.
That is true. Yeah.
Like, short flight's good for me, man.
1 hour flight is weird. I feel like you get up in the air and you come right back down.
JJ, your guy Jay is a fight fan?
Which one?
Jermaine Young?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Because Zombie had jumped in with a Hamzat shout out in the YouTube chat, which fight fans will know.
Okay.
Of course.
And your guy Jay Young did the index finger pointing up emoji. So there you go. Jay Young.
What's a Hamzat? Who's Hamzat?
Hamzat Shamayev.
Oh.
He's a headache fighter in a good way. Not a guy you want to match up with.
Okay.
So that's all it is. Again, I do understand some of the immediate vitriol towards the national media because of the stuff I just mentioned. But that's you're going to hear a lot of that, folks. Like, get ready. Because when these playoff matchups are set, guess what? You're going to have some people pick against your team, even though they're the higher seed. And you're going to have people say, well, this is why I'm picking against the Kings.
Mark.
Sorry. Yes.
Oh, found it, Rami, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Alfred E. Newman in YouTube said, boys in the hood, .. Mark.
Mark.
Cole G says, Rami is fixated on that word. Laughing, crying.
I am a little bit.
Big Dave from Sacramento also confirmed it was from Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, he said it was Ice Cube said it when Trey was crossing the street from the backyard barbecue.
Katie Vieira, by
the way.
Katie Vieira.
Y'all cold blood.
With a fun chat, she says, talking about the Kings' disrespect, she said, we have the top three players in the league, Fox, Sabonis, and Dellavedova.
That is true.
You love Delly. You love Delly as much as you hate the word Mark.
I love Delly, man.
Mark.
How do you not love Delly?
Mark.
Love that dude.
Hated that.
He's like me. Just everywhere he goes, winning happens. You know? Me and Delly. You have us to thank. More than anyone else.
We're getting to the playoffs here. You better back this up,
my
man.
Me and Matthew Dellavedova are to thank for the Kings' success.
Opening day tomorrow. ESPN's Jesse Rogers joins us to talk baseball next.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports. It's been 17 years.
17 years.
Back to the hoop, lights it up, around, and in, at the horn.
The Sacramento Kings are finally returning to the NBA playoffs for the first time since 2006.
Yes, indeed.
Where will they finish in the standings?
How deep a run can they make?
Tune into Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the most in-depth Kings coverage of the 916.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of your boat cruising along the intercoastal. And there's the sound of the prop hitting a really big rock. And now the sound of waves because the engine stopped. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with the multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It's March, and you know what that means? Taxes are almost due. Jackson Hewitt can help you win tax season. That's the sound of your maximum tax refund. The sound of getting 50% off tax prep. The sound of many of our competitors' prices going up. And the sound of getting to your nearest Jackson Hewitt. Hurry in for 50% off tax prep before this offer expires April 9th. Limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
It's truck month at Meta Chevy with exclusive all-in-stock pricing on a huge selection of new 2022 and 23 half-ton Silverados in stock. Ready to go. See all the savings at MetaChevy.com. Find new roads.
33123.
Start your grilling season at Nugget Market. Markets for a chance to win the ultimate outdoor cooker, the Big Green Egg. Perfect for grilling, barbecuing, or slow cooking the perfect ham, the Big Green Egg is the ultimate outdoor cooker for versatility, eco-friendliness, and fantastic flavor. From searing a steak to smoking ribs low and slow, even baking your Easter pies, everything tastes better on the egg. Want to win one of your own? Drop by your local Nugget Market to enter to win and stock up on gourmet ingredients to make your Easter amazing. Also sign up for Nugget's Secret Special for exclusive savings, great recipes, and more ways to win. Stop by your Nugget Market today.
At aimyourdigital.com, we'll help you target the right audience, build your leads, and crush your quota. Take your business to the next level. Our digital marketing strategies help grow awareness of your product or service, all while building trust in your business. Our approach involves leveraging multiple tools and strategies to deliver exceptional results that are customized to your unique business needs. Don't wait to run out of sales leads. Keep your business growing. Get started with aimyourdigital.com today.
The Amish have a reputation for craftsmanship, determination, and quality. Hi, this is Frank LaRosa with a word about Naturewood Home Furnishings. You know, those virtues sound quite similar to the Keys family and the day-to-day values on display at Naturewood. The Amish furniture craftsmanship begins with the finest hardwood, shaping and molding the raw materials into one-of-a-kind art. In addition to the classic styles long sought and revered by discriminating furniture lovers, Naturewood Home Furnishings offers a vast selection that includes transitional, modern, farmhouse, arts and crafts, and other stunning styles, all available in the ultimate Amish standard of excellence built over centuries. All Naturewood Amish furniture is on sale right now for a limited time. Let the Naturewood team guide you through their selection of Amish furniture that will be with you forever. Naturewood Home Furnishings, off Highway 50 at Hazel. Look for the water wheel.
Kevin Lewis of National Garage Door. Whether you need to repair a broken spring, install the new opener, or buy a quality Rainer door, National Garage Door is here for you. Call us today to see how we can transform your house with a new garage door.
638-4554,
National Garage Door.
Sacktown
Sports.
Headlines.
It's Simone Rickford with your Sacktown Sports headlines. After four straight days of clinched scenarios, the Sacramento Kings and its fan base are still waiting to celebrate the franchise's first NBA playoff berth since 2006. Kings find themselves in the City of Roses tonight as the 14-point favorites looking to clinch that elusive playoff spot. According to ESPN Stats and Info, that would be their most favorable spread in a road game in over 30 years. Entering the season, Sacramento was +300 to make the playoffs and 250-1 to win the division. For more details on this historic matchup tonight, check out SacktownSports.com or our Sacktown Sports app. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Jesse Rogers of ESPN joins the show right now to talk opening day and MLB.
Cattles and Rami.
Cattles and Rami. Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Opening day tomorrow. Yeah. Baseball is back, baby. And joining us right now to talk about that, on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, is Jesse Rogers from ESPN. Covers Major League Baseball, especially the White Sox and the Cubs. So Rami knows Jesse very, very well.
Yeah.
Jesse, thanks for joining us here in Sacramento. Your time is much appreciated. Let's talk with the pitch clock. Shaved off 26 minutes from spring training games, Jesse. Is that a big deal or no big deal?
For those of us watching it, whether it be in the press box, the stands, on TV, I think it's a big deal for the players as well. I mean, I've talked to a lot of players, and there's just a dual reaction. Yes, they like getting home earlier. They like the game moving. However, there are some players that are concerned that the regular season is much different than spring training or the minor leagues in terms of intensity, in terms of meaningfulness. And, you know, there's going to be weather conditions, high leverage situations, unforeseen moments, and they'd like a little bit more leeway. You know, they'd like a little bit more umpire discretion, maybe an extra timeout or disengagement from the rubber, and they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. So I think we're sort of still in uncharted territory starting tomorrow. Things probably will level off over time, but I know some players are a little bit worried, you know, a little dust in my eyes and I already used my timeout. What am I supposed to do at the plate, right? So there's safety issues, there's competing issues, competitive issues. But in all, I think everybody in uniform and outside of uniform likes the idea of a quicker game. But in practice, there may be some bumps.
We also have the bigger bases, the shift ban. Do you think the pitch clock, though, is the one that's going to take the most adjustment for players and coaches and the one that'll have the most impact on the game and the way that it looks?
Yes, definitely, because when you talk about the shift, it is what it is, right? I mean, you can only stand on the infield, two on each side. Whatever happens after that happens. But unless you violate the shift restrictions, you're not going to be penalized, right? Well, a pitcher or hitter can be penalized for delaying the game too much. So I definitely think that's the thing to get adjusted to the most. Now, if you talk to a catcher, these guys, I talked to the Braves catcher, the Cubs catcher. I've talked to a lot of catchers during spring training, and your old guy, Sean Murphy, and they really are, you know, try to sort of streamline their the way they set up and get and release the ball to second base even more than normal. They know there's going to be an increase in stolen base attempts. We saw that in spring training. I think it went up to like 2.6 a game compared to 1.7 in terms of attempts. The success rate went up from 73% to 77%. So other than catchers, I think players will adjust, but I think it is going to be a task for pitchers and catchers, obviously, in terms of negating that running game. But first and foremost is certainly the pitch clock and adjusting to it.
Talking baseball season as opening day is upon us tomorrow with Jesse Rogers from ESPN. Jesse, lots of projections have the Giants finishing third or fourth in the NL West. Any disagreement with that?
No, I don't. I'm a little bit down on the Giants compared to previous years. They always seem to surprise. But I think if you're buying stock in the NL West, a lot of people are buying stock on the Diamondbacks and not so much the Giants. Maybe they like it that way. They have, you know, surprised in the past. Even last year wasn't horrendous, wasn't great, but wasn't horrendous. But most people are picking the Diamondbacks to be that kind of team that people like. You know, here in the Midwest, the Cubs are getting a little juice in terms of maybe they can make a little bit of a jump. I think the Diamondbacks and Cubs are on that similar path, which maybe you downgrade the Giants with, but there's no doubt the Rockies are going to finish in last. They're just awful. They're no good. So, yeah, third or fourth is probably the best the Giants can do.
You know, the discouraging thing, Jesse, is that you look at what the Dodgers and the Padres have built, and obviously the Dodgers' bankroll is unlimited, and they can add to what they've already built. I think some folks look at it and go, when can we compete with those two teams and those two payrolls right there? Is it as bleak as it might look on paper when you're talking about the rest of the teams in the NL West looking up at the Padres and the Dodgers?
Maybe it is for the Rockies. They're just in a different category, I feel like. The Giants are a pretty well-run organization, right? We know that. But I think what happened in the offseason is a reminder that you really build a contender through drafting, trading, and developing. My point being, free agency is a crapshoot. Whether you get a guy and he fails and he doesn't succeed as much as you think, or you don't even get the guy, like which happened with the Giants in a couple moments there. So free agency should cap off your rebuild. It shouldn't be part of the rebuild, to be honest. And it really was going to be part of the rebuild in a way. I don't know if I'm making sense to you guys, but but my point is, look, the Padres are in a moment in time here. That doesn't mean it's going to last, right? They've got some guys that are going to be free agents in a couple of years, all that stuff. Yes, they locked up Machado. The Dodgers, kind of like I said about the Rockies on one end, are in a bit of a different category. They always seem to be able to spend. But remember, their success also is based on the draft and development as well. It's not just about acquiring Mookie Betts and other guys and Freddie Freeman. It is about their foundation. So I feel like the Giants do it most, for the most part, have a foundation. They just have to develop. And then, yes, they do have to hit on some free agents. I guess what I'm saying is it can look bleak, but in a year it doesn't have to. And if you had gotten Aaron Judge, it probably would not have looked as bleak as it does. You just had that weird off season where you swung and missed on a couple guys there. But I still think contending is about drafting, trading, and developing. Free agency is a crapshoot in all manners, whether you get a guy or you don't get a guy.
Jesse, last one for you today. And again, thanks for the time. I'm going to really challenge you with this one. What is the most optimistic thing you can say about the A's as we get ready for their season?
That they tend to have dips, and then after the dip, they do have a rise, right? We've seen that under Billy Beane over the years and the people under him. That, yes, they've had their dips, but then they have a little rise. They're certainly in a dip, right? The Nationals are in a dip, but both those teams, I think, have proven to be decent organizations, one that doesn't spend at all. I'm just talking from a development standpoint. We've seen the Oakland A's develop and contend somewhat at times without spending any money, and then they go trade over all these good players. So I think the best thing I can say is every dip is followed by a sort of a decent rise, and you're due for a rise at some point here in the next couple of years.
Jesse, we thank you for the time again. We really appreciate it. Let's do this again soon, shall we?
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jesse. There goes Jesse Rogers from ESPN, covers Major League Baseball, especially the White Sox and the Cubs for the worldwide leader. He was on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Hope for the rise. Wait for the rise. That's the message to A's fans. JJ, wait for the rise. It's going to happen.
That should be their slogan.
The rise in Vegas, or what are you talking about here?
The rise might happen in Vegas. It's a good point.
All right, they're not rising that salary.
Which big events are the most overrated? Our draft mockery is coming up.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports. We're in the room and we're checking boards.
Do you think we're being serious?
Nah.
It's the mockery draft.
All right, we had a passionate discussion this morning about this segment.
Yes, we did.
I was told to get right to it, so I'm going to listen to my directions.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to WrestleMania this weekend. I leave tomorrow after the show. I'm driving down.
Nice.
Going down 5.
You decided you're driving?
Yeah, going down 5, not 99.
That boy.
Listening to my guy JJ. Said, take 5, don't take 99. So I'm listening.
Okay.
So we'll leave tomorrow. Going to be there for Saturday and Sunday's event. I'll be there Friday too, but it is what it is. Friday's a Kelly day. She gets to decide the entire day, whatever she wants to do, because I'm dragging her to 2 wrestling shows. So I said, whatever you want, Rodeo Drive, if you want to walk down, go ahead. Hollywood Walk of Fame, fine.
You been to L.A. yet?
Good. No.
Okay.
Kelly went for like 2 days as part of work a while back. All right, so the idea came about because of that. Overrated big events. So events that people talk about all the time, I think, are just huge events. Like, oh, you got to go to this.
Mad coverage.
Yeah. Like everything, right?
Everywhere.
So that's the topic. You guys and gals can weigh in. YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. The order is Simone, JJ, then me, and then Rami for back-to-back belly-to-belly. So, Simone, first pick overall, overrated big event.
This is going to be a shot at Chicago, I believe. Uh-oh, Rami. Lollapalooza looks like it sucks.
It's definitely gone downhill. The lineup this year looks good. I don't know if you've looked at the lineup.
I haven't looked at the lineup. It's the people that concern me. I've seen people like bulldoze over fences.
Yeah, last year was total chaos. Yep. From what I understand.
Just looks like a stampede waiting to happen. People could die. Keep it. I'm so good.
It was that post-pandemic behavior. People forgot how to act.
Exactly. we're out in the summer in the streets.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. That's mine.
I'm with you. No, that's not even a shot at Chicago. I'm with you.
Pop, pop, pop shots.
Unnecessary.
I said this earlier today, so I'm going to go with the first pick so nobody takes it. If you haven't been to Coachella, I would say think twice. I've been there twice, work-related purposes, so I haven't spent my money. I haven't spent money on a ticket.
Sure.
It went from a day to a weekend to now two weekends. But if you haven't been to Coachella, let's just say this. First of all, you're sitting on the grass 9 times out of 10. There's a lot going on. When I say a lot, just read through the lines. Yep. A lot going on, you know. And the other part of it is you're paying a whole heck of a lot of money to be in the middle of nowhere.
It's now, expensive, man.
Yeah, man, Palm Springs is cool. I just went there in January, had a fantastic time. But beyond that, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, Indio, you know, all that type of stuff.
My girl loves Bad Bunny, so I was like, let me see if I can.
Hold your money in your pocket. Coachella is highly overrated.
Saw the prices. I was like, I'm
yeah,
good.
He can keep that.
That's all right.
Mr. All Red, by the way, says he needs me to go to Roscoe's and do a review when I get back.
Has he never been there, or he just asked for you to do that? Okay. Well,
by the way, before
you do that, Nick, make sure you check with me to let you know which ones to go to.
Yeah, okay. Apparently I went to the
wrong one. Oh, not all Roscoe's are created equal?
No, well, and safely as well.
Quick basketball note, if you're wondering if the Kings are going to clinch tonight, and if they'll have an opportunity to clinch by winning tonight, or if that'll be spoiled by the Clippers losing in Memphis, Kawhi's out tonight.
Oh.
Personal reasons.
Oh.
No Kawhi, no Paul George in Memphis.
Don't like it.
Might have a clinch by like 7:30.
Don't like that.
Sacramento Kings steady rising and rising and rising.
All right, here's my pick. New Year's Eve at Times Square.
Oh, you couldn't pay me.
Nailed
no
it.
No, you couldn't pay me,
I haven't
dude.
Thought about that one. So good.
Nope.
Like a sardine. People going to the bathroom next to you. That
can't
does happen.
Do it.
Yeah, oh, I know.
It's freezing.
Nah. If it's raining, it's
Such
even
a
worse.
Good pick.
You got to get there at like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Absolutely
no
not.
Way.
Couldn't pay me to
no,
go
no,
out
no,
there.
No way.
No, thank you. Not at all.
All right, Rami, back to back.
I got two that I thought would be gone by now. These were 1 and 2 on my big board. One is the NFL draft.
Yeah, you got me, Rami.
I'm sorry, man.
How dare you?
To go to some auditorium or wherever they're going to hold it on a year-to-year basis and sit there to watch Roger Goodell step up to a podium every 10 minutes.
But they don't do that again anymore.
With the blah-bitty-blah
The last one was in Vegas.
Blah-bitty-blah draft.
Nashville, I heard, was cool, too,
right? Blah-bitty-blah select. Blah-bitty-blah.
I was in an Uber when we were in Vegas, and this guy was telling us that the draft was awesome. That Vegas shut down the entire street, and all people did was just walk around and party the entire
I'm good. And watch some guy go up there and hug a commissioner who he's going to hate as soon as he signs a contract and sees what that guy and the owners try to do to the NFLPA. It's all just – it's a waste of time. Just tell me who got drafted. Let me read the analysis, the scouting reports, and let's move on with our lives. And the other thing is the Olympics. Man, I don't.
You're on your own.
Michael Phelps swimming. I don't. I didn't care about people swimming the 4 years in between, and I won't care about people swimming when they. I don't care how many American flags you slap on it. The Olympics could be in my backyard, and I'm closing the curtains. I just don't care about any Olympic event whatsoever. I wouldn't pay to go. I wouldn't pay to go somewhere. I wouldn't go if it was right out back. I just miss me with the Olympics. Any Olympics event. Is overrated.
All right, my next one, Comic Con. I don't get it.
Ah, that was on me too.
Don't do that, and then that's a shot at me.
I just if it's a you thing.
Are you
fine.
A LARPer, Simone?
No, I don't.
You LARP?
I just getting dressed up and going to Comic Con and like I collected comics when I was younger and all that.
And, Dungeons and Dragons.
But I played Dungeons and Dragons, but the whole Comic Con thing is just it's not a me thing.
I would love to go one day if anyone's listening.
It's not a me thing. Are you soliciting Comic Con tickets?
I've never
I don't think we can do that
it.
Legally. JJ, you're next.
Yeah, I'm going to follow that cab, but I don't know what to call it. I was trying to find this thing, but there is something where the Star Wars, Simone, you can help me out here. They do this big thing every year. May the 4th be with you. It's my birthday.
Yes.
And I always be like, what in the heck? Stop stealing my thunder, first of all.
I made a whole post for you last year about this. Yeah,
it's like it's called something, and I used to see it in L.A. all about it. I don't know what it's technically called.
But there's like a Star Wars event?
Yes. There's like a big thing, and you know, I see Ewoks and all that type of stuff. Man, you guys are terrible.
I might be there for that.
No, you can have that.
Ward says Star Wars Fest.
There it is. Sure. Yeah.
Easy enough.
Yeah.
There it is.
Marks.
To round us out, I think I'm picking next here. I would say competing in the running with the bulls over in Spain.
What?
I definitely
I love dudes getting
trapped. Yeah,
I love
watching it.
Yeah, I like to watch it.
Competing in it.
Oh.
Keep that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that if we're talking about competing in things,
I'm out
on getting chased by a bull. Not interested. You got one more, Simone.
Okay, one more really quick. This is terrible. I'm going to do it, though. Aftershock. I want no part of that. Some people got sick going last year. I'm way good. Sorry, Sacramento. No aftershock for me.
Yeah, somebody saying go to aftershock. JJ.
I don't know what aftershock
It's a big, like, hard rock.
Festival. Yeah, like 2 days here.
All right.
My last one here is I was trying to decipher which one I want to go to, but I'm going to say I think Rami's going to take this one. All right, I'm going to say the what do I call this thing? I just lost it as I was looking at Brian do something over here on the side of the glass. It is any fake championship. So like NIT.
My favorite is the CBI. Basketball Invitational.
Yeah, like they have a women's version of that now. Any fake championship that, you know, is not the real, it's the one before the ribbon championship.
Yeah,
if you spend your money on that, stop it.
I'm going to need a clarification when we get around to mine, because I don't know if it's
all right,
that category.
I have so many. Oh, my God, this is tough. All right, I'll say NASCAR, any big NASCAR event. Now, I will say sans the tailgating. Because, like, the tailgating is supposedly epic, but people trying to sell me on sitting inside the stadium to watch cars go in a circle.
Nah, man.
Just to wait for a crash, quote-unquote, I'm out.
Yeah, not going to the Brickyard 400?
No.
Okay.
Out.
There's one way they could get me to go to a NASCAR race. It's really just one word. Ramps. Ramps.
Just fly
ramps on the track. And I'll go and watch. Back around to me. Does this fit under JJ's description? The Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl. And if it's not part of the college football playoff, like, it's just, they do the whole parade, and it's like, it means nothing. It's never meant anything unless it was part of the college football playoff. Am I stealing from JJ if I say the Rose Bowl?
No,
I get you.
The Rose Bowl.
You just picked the one in LA.
All right, we got some people. Alfred E. Newman, Kentucky Derby, overrated.
Nah, man, you got to go
been.
To that.
I hear it's
that's huge.
I'm just about to say
that's
that.
A one-time event you need to see.
Xavier Alvarez says Super Bowl nowadays, if you ask me. A couple people.
I thought
like
about
Ryan
Pro
Mears
Bowl,
Eve.
Which is kind of what I was saying. I was trying to wrap them all into one. Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Pro Bowl. NBA All-Star Game.
Depends on where.
Like a layup line?
I
not
just
want
to go to the parties during the week. Exactly. I don't even need to go
Yeah,
see
but
the
we're
game.
Talking about the events.
Yeah, I know.
Katie Vieira, the Macy's Day Parade, Thanksgiving.
Yep.
For sure.
Any parade. That's
played out.
Great choice.
Oh, big fight weigh-ins. Incredibly boring. Boring.
For the most part,
Went to a John Jones one. Awful. Any Hollywood award show? No, thanks.
Sit
there for 5 hours to watch people talk about themselves.
Longer than that, yeah.
The WWE Hall of Fame? Nope. Any marathon I'm out on.
Yeah, no.
You don't want to go to Tour de France? What about Tour de France?
That was my next one.
I thought about
Tour
that,
Tour de France, I'm out.
Not even to be in France? Skip it.
I'll be doing something else.
I was
going
to say,
France,
if I get to France, I'm not going to the Tour de France.
A bunch of people on bikes.
Love how I say France, and then we say France. Got to say it that way. Tour de France.
All right.
Am I crazy to think that two games in Portland are critical? Our thoughts next.